Love is the Fulfillment of the Law. Commentary for the March 29, 2025 Sabbath School Lesson by Stephen Terry, Director, Stillwaters Ministry. www.visitstillwaters.com. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. Galatians 5, verse 14. In the news this week has been the controversy over the rights of resident foreigners in the face of American justice and constitutionally defined fair play. At the heart of that controversy has been two plane loads of Venezuelans deported from the United States, not to their own country, but to a prison in El Salvador, far from their homeland and far from any possible expectation of a court trial in the United States, where they were apprehended. As can be seen from the accompanying photo, these men are already sentenced and imprisoned through an offshore renditioning engineered by United States Immigration and Customs Enforcement at the direction of the President of the United States. Deprived of a trial and its findings, it is impossible to determine if all these individuals are guilty of serious crimes that would justify incarceration in a rendition prison. I am not naive enough to believe that all are innocent simply because they protest that they are, but the legal standard in the United States for centuries, derived from English law, is that the accused is innocent until proven guilty. This is usually understood to mean the right to a trial to determine guilt or innocence. This is not only taught in thousands of civics classes across our nation. It has also been reinforced by hundreds of thousands of television episodes and movies for well over a century, and in literature before that. Whether it is the good guys in white hats fighting the bad guys in black hats, cowboys fighting Native Americans, the Allies fighting the Axis in World War II, or Elliot Ness fighting gangsters during the Depression, the good guys were always about fair play and justice, never stooping to the methods of the bad guys, and justice always triumphed in the end. Now those beliefs are being shredded as we decide to abandon due process to take our pound of flesh in retribution. The Amazon Prime series Reacher epitomizes our new sentiment as a nation. Any evil, any means is justified to counter evil if the bad guys are dead at the end, so they are not able to testify about the evil the good guys perpetrated in the interests of justice. As Reacher states in an episode late in the third season, "I don't want justice. I want vengeance." In the past, superheroes would typically deliver the bad guys in one piece to the police for eventual trial. But now it is a waste of time. It is deemed better to pass judgment and execute sentences on the spot. This is based on the idea of a broken justice system and the fear that a lenient judiciary will allow the accused to remain free or quickly regain freedom with an especially light sentence. All those television shows and movies that encourage fair play by the good guys also taught us that the bad guys will never give up seeking revenge. The choice then is either living one's life constantly looking over the shoulder for bad guys looking to get even, or using extrajudicial means to solve the problem, eliminating fear and worry. This fear and perceived solution drive the huge volume in gun sales in the United States. Again, all those same television shows and movies also teach that when justice fails, guns are usually the only solution. As Reacher also has said, we need more guns. Typically during the Cold War, when one side increased their military capabilities, the other side followed suit through an endless cycle of escalations. Rarely does anyone step in and say, this is nonsense, and work to de-escalate all the armaments aimed back and forth across the globe. While there have been moments of détente, they do not last. As a species, we seem bent on our own destruction through mutually inflicted violence. Are we destined for mutual obliteration in an earthwide nuclear inferno as the unavoidable climax to vengeance that masquerades as justice? Sadly, there are those who call themselves Christians who say, "Bring it on, so evil will finally come to an end." Some even attribute the destruction to God, who finally gets so angry with humanity that he reduces everything to cinders. This does not seem to be the character of a God who would die as Jesus, incarnate, on a cross to save as many as possible from such a grim fate. In fact, the Apostle John tells us, God is love in 1 John 4:8. So who is right? Is God like General Sherman marching through Georgia to the sea, burning everything in his path? Or is he like Jesus, refusing to bring down fire on a Samaritan village when they slighted him and his disciples in Luke 9 verses 51 through 56? How we answer that question determines how our Christian faith will play out. It can be said that the Bible reflects how humanity sees God. If so, humanity's faith is schizophrenic. At times, we see God as hating all the same people we do, while at others, we see him loving those we want nothing to do with, as in Matthew 5, verses 43 to 48. In the first instance, we have created God in our own image, facing the same problems and foes we face, foes which we may have been responsible for creating. In the latter instance, God asks us to take on his image as we were created to have in the beginning, in Genesis 1, verses 26 and 27. If John is correct that God is love, then we were created to love. But what about all the violence and draconian laws in the Old Testament? Jesus answered that question when he was quizzed about divorce. He said things were the way they were back then because of the hardness of our hearts, in Matthew 19, verses 3 through 9. Even in the Old Testament, the prophet Ezekiel brings up the subject of our hard-heartedness more than once, in Ezekiel 11:19 and 36, verse 26. Our hearts develop this stony hardness from fear. The evil one wants to keep us in a state of fear because fearful people are easy to manipulate. To that end, it serves his purpose to introduce as much chaos and evil into the world as possible to create that fear. Jesus warned us that this would be the case, but our survival depends upon our ability to keep on loving despite the evil so that our hearts do not become hardened and we lose our salvation, according to Matthew 24, verses 12 and 13. Innately, those who are truly seeking to bear the image we are created to bear, the image of love, are deeply offended when we see vengeance masquerading as justice. We know that justice without compassion, without love, is Mount Sinai without the cross. It means living forever in the mire of our sinfulness without the hope of deliverance from that sorry state. The laws of both man and God condemn us. We have no hope of salvation unless we know God. And John tells us if we claim to know and love God, but hate others, then we are liars, in 1 John 4, verses 19 through 21. The devil knows that if he can keep us fearful, we will never be able to be loving. We will be too afraid to be vulnerable. And he tells us that being vulnerable is dangerous. This is why it is so important to give God access to our hearts. His strength and love will remove that feeling of vulnerability, and with it the fear it brings. The more love that enters our hearts, the more fear leaves for greener pastures, according to 1 John 4, verse 18. The devil tempts us with FOMO, or fear of missing out. He does this because he knows that the more we have in this life, the greater our fear of losing it will be. The wealthy have this fear in spades. When they look around them, they have difficulty believing that everyone else is not out to take what they have. To the degree that others are driven by that same fear of missing out, they may be right. However, no matter how great that fear is, they will eventually be consigned to the grave, and all they have accumulated will pass on to others who did little to earn it. All that remains then is judgment. Be assured that judgment will not place what we have gathered in our greedy hands in the scales in our favor at that judgment. Instead, the only thing that will weigh in our favor on those heavenly scales is compassion, empathy, and love. For too many, what is placed on that side of the scale will weigh less than a feather. It would have been better to use our wealth to care for the needs of the oppressed and suffering during life than to pass on the wealth to someone who neither cares about nor desires our salvation. Though I have faith in God, I am deeply troubled that so many are choosing to walk away from God, attracted by glitter of the ersatz treasure this world offers. They believe it will give them joy, but such joy is hollow and can lead to situations worse than those immigrants who ended up in a Salvadorian prison faced. If we decide to get on that carousel to chase that golden ring, others are chasing it as well. It is the nature of such treasures that not everyone can have them, though they all desire them. Therefore, those who obtain it must live in constant fear of losing it to all those who will use any means to take it for themselves. They will use whatever means they have to take it, both legal and foul. They may even obtain the power to change what is legal, and then use that power to not only take the ring, but everything else, leaving us destitute in the end. This is the crop of the garden of fear that the devil sows, and we harvest. Thank you for listening to this commentary podcast. You can find the written version of this commentary, along with hundreds more commentaries and podcasts, at our website at www.visitstillwaters.com. You can also find articles there by the author, as well as links to books that he has written. Once again, that is www.visitstillwaters.com. May God richly bless you and your family.